Our next generations are growing up in an increasingly digital world, and the pandemic has only accelerated that trend. Digitalisation has always gone hand in hand with the collection of our personal data, but what does this mean for our children? It's certainly true that children navigating the online environment are unlikely to understand what they're agreeing to or the significance of those decisions. In this episode of She Talks Tech, we hear from Leah Bertrand-Main, Senior Associate at Clifford Chance. Leah explains what the risks are for children and their personal data in an online context. She also sets out where current regulation is in place and where policies are heading.
Welcome, everyone. I wanted to thank you for joining me in this keynote to discuss some of the implications of growing up in a digital world. There are, of course, many perspectives from which we could discuss this topic, but my focus today will be to look at it from a data protection point of view. But before we get into the topic, I wanted to tell you a bit more about myself and about why I am passionate about this topic. I'm a senior associate in the Technology, Media and Telecommunications team in Clifford Chance London. My role is largely focused on advising large multinationals from different industry sectors, including tech companies, on a range of issues on data protection compliance. So why are we discussing children and their personal data in specific? More and more, one generation after the other, grows in an exponentially increased digitalized world. And of course, although we have already seen in the past century how different inventions might have changed how we grow, live, and interact as a society, none of these have come at such a fast-changing speed. Every year, children start making use of technology when they're a bit younger than their preceding generation. We tend to only look at the benefits of technology, which I agree are many, but we need to factor in the risks too. When I think of my child growing in a digital world and the questions or risks it arises regarding the information that is gathered on her, I can only reach the conclusion that there is an important topic to discuss in a society. And maybe you can tell from this that I recently became a mom. Children are being datafied, which is the expression used in the UK's Children's Code, which we will discuss in a few minutes, meaning that companies are collecting numerous data points of children. Well, as I always say, the law is a byproduct of our society. And therefore, any changes to our behavior as a community will end up being reflected in the law sooner or later. And this is what makes this topic not only key, but also really interesting from a legal perspective, because as you will see, this is more or less unexplored land. The important bit will not only be setting the rules of the game, but also exploring what should these rules be? What are the risks for children's privacy when growing up in a digital context? Does this mean that we should exclude them from it? Or do we just need to make it a safe environment? And if so, how can we do that? In general, safeguarding children's privacy from risks posed by an online environment, including somehow protecting their personal data, has been left solely at the parent's responsibility or to the will of service providers self-regulating themselves. In reality, it is almost impossible for the parents alone to be able to mitigate or eliminate such risks, at least without completely alienating their child from technology, which in turn would take away the benefits of technology. And although some companies have been providing some sort of parental controls for a while, these are usually not enough. We also need to factor in COVID here, which has been a turning point since the pandemic. If anything, the pandemic has pushed children and all of us really to use technology even more, which has been fantastic, don't get me wrong, but it does mean that the amount of information on children that has been collected has also increased. Some governments and lawmakers around the world have started to pick up these questions up and issues, and in some cases, they have started to provide answers. So, what is the current data protection regulation in place? You might have been aware that in the past years, laws that govern the protection of personal data have been flourishing around the world. And it might be that the handling of children's personal data is already covered by this general law to an extent. This is the case of data protection laws in Brazil, in the EU, or in the UK, to name a few. And using the EU and the UK as an example, the protection of personal data is regulated by the General Data Protection Regulation, or as you might have heard it called, the GDPR. The GDPR together with any national law that complements it. After Brexit, in the UK, the GDPR is called the UK GDPR. But for ease of reference, I'll just mention GDPR during this keynote. The GDPR came into effect in 2018. So fairly recently, and as I said, it regulates the protection of personal data from any individual, regardless of age, and therefore includes adults and children. Actually, there are even some specific provisions on children and a recognition that children, even from a data protection perspective, merit a specific protection. But other than the general data protection laws, is there anything else to address the specific situation and risks of children? Well, in the UK and the EU, it is off the back of this general data protection regulation and laws and national laws that complement it that we're seeing developments in the space of children's privacy. The UK has been a pioneer in this area. It has created a specific code that covers the protection of children's personal data, called the Children's Code. The code was first published in 2020, but it entered into force in the 2nd of September of 2021, following a one-year transition period that allowed companies to prepare for it and comply with it. But the UK has been closely followed by some others. In France, the Data Protection Authority, the CNIL, published its 8 recommendations to strengthen the protection of minors online in June 2021. The Data Protection in Ireland, the Irish Data Protection Commission, published in December 2021 what they call the Fundamentals for a Child-Oriented Approach to Data Processing. This is what we have been seeing up to now, but definitely there is more coming in the pipeline. Before we go there, though, I would like to pause and have a closer look at the UK's Children's Code. What companies does the Children's Code apply to? Simply put, and avoiding the legalese, it applies to online services that are likely to be accessed by children. And just for clarity, children is defined as anyone under the age of 18. Now, it is important to stress that the fact that the test to see if the Children's Code applies or not to a service or to a company is whether the services offered are likely to be accessed by children rather than the services being aimed at or directed at children. This is something that it was very carefully thought about. As you might have guessed, the code is trying to cover for all those situations where a service is not thought of or designed for children, but that children actually use. So what the code asks companies to do is to analyze if, in practice, the service that they're offering is accessed by children. And companies can do that by looking at different factors. So, for example, the nature of the service, the content of it, if it has a particular appeal for children, how is this service accessed, and if there are any measures in place to prevent the access of children. The code really recommends to use a common sense approach to answer the question on whether their service is likely to be accessed by children or not. If a company is offering a service with content that is inappropriate for children, that company should concentrate in preventing access to children rather than in complying with the code. Having said this, what do companies actually need to do to comply with the Children's Code? The Children's Code is made up of 15 standards that companies need to comply with. The code describes the standards as technology-neutral design principles and practical privacy features. Basically, it understands that each service will need different technical solutions. So the standards operate as a flexible baseline. Let's put it that way. The standards are designed to mitigate any risks to children and their rights. that come from companies processing their personal data. As a matter of fact, the code uses the rights recognized in the United Nations Convention on Rights of the Child to develop the standards. So, for example, children have a right to life, children have a right to be protected from violence, or they have a right to privacy. Unfortunately, we don't have time to cover each of the 15 standards in detail, but I would like to discuss a couple of these and show you what is their practical application. The first one is the standard on geolocation. By geolocation data, it is meant data from a user's device that shows the geographical location of that device, including GPS data. So what are the risks involved in processing geolocation data of a child? Well, geolocation data involves the risk of compromising the physical safety of that child if the information is misused. So remember the rights that we just mentioned now, the right to life or the right to protection from violence. Again, if geolocation data is constantly shared, it might affect other child's rights, for example, the right to privacy or the right to freedom of association. So what does the standard ask companies to do? Geolocation options should be turned off by default, with limited exceptions. Companies should also provide an obvious sign for children when location tracking is active. So, for example, lighting a light up in the device or showing an icon, which will help ensure that location tracking is also not left on by mistake by the child. If there is an option in the device or the service that a company is providing, which allows the child to activate and make the location visible to others, the code also asks to make sure that after each use, this option is defaulted back to off. So as you can see, this all helps safeguard the children's right, and it all applies to geolocation data cases. Now, let's take a look at another interesting example. There is a standard on nudge techniques. Nudge techniques refer to those design features that encourage users to follow the path that designers prefer them to follow, affecting the user's decision-making. So for example, if you get two options on a screen, but there is one displayed with a large green highlight design that says accept, next to another one that says reject, but is being displayed with a smaller font, no highlights, you're very likely to go for the accept. And so are the children that might be using that service. Basically, you or the child using that have been nudged to go for the accept option. Another nudging technique is also when the designer makes reaching an option more time consuming than reaching an alternative option. So for example, it is not the same, I think you will agree, if you need to click once to reach to the desired web page, as opposed to when you need to click six times and follow a much complicated path to reach to another web page, which is the one that you really want to reach. So again, on these standards, what do companies need to do? The standard says that nudge techniques should not be used to lead children to make poor privacy decisions. So therefore, it is trying to protect their right to privacy. For example, there should not be a nudge technique used to turn off privacy protections, or a nudge technique to make children say, yes, please, I allow you to collect more of my personal data. However, the standard does encourage some types of nudges, which are either pro-privacy nudges or nudges to promote health and the well-being of a child, where appropriate. An example of this would be in a video game service, having a nudge to take a break from playing. So imagine something like having a pop-up in the screen that says, you have now played two games, are you sure you want to continue? As opposed to what usually happens nowadays, which is that you're basically, as a user, thrown into the next game that is already getting started and that you need to play with it. Another example that I wanted to briefly cover is called best interests of the child. I have left this one last, but it is actually the first standard in the code, and it is one that it is seen as an overarching principle. Services should always be guided by this principle, that is, what is in the best interest of the child when designing and developing an online service that is likely to be accessed by children. This concept, again, comes from the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, And it basically means that you should consider what is best for that individual child at any given time. We will not have time to go into the Irish fundamentals, so the Irish type of children's code that I mentioned before. But one thing that the fundamentals do and that I loved about is to spell out opinions of children when they were asked about practices of their personal data. For background, both the children's code and the Irish fundamentals cover the issue of transparency. So transparency is another standard of the code and basically asks companies to provide privacy information to children in a concise, clear language that they can understand and that is tailored to the child's age. So now what I would like to do is to share some opinions that children had on transparency measures regarding their personal data. For example, a mixed group of ages 8 to 9 said, when you input your personal data, they should ask you, do you want to know where your information goes? Another group, ages 16 to 17, said, make the phone larger and more colorful. Feedback taken. And finally, a group of ages 12 to 13 said, make a cool video or YouTube clip that's fun and put a timer on terms and conditions to ensure that you can read them. This was a whistle-stop tour of the children's code, but still there is one important question to be asked about it. Have we seen, as public, any effect of the children's code so far? Well, as reported by the BBC on the 1st of September of 2021, so one day before the children's code came into effect, big social media companies had announced changes in some of their policies. So for example, YouTube said that it was turning off default autoplay on videos and that it was also blocking ad targeting and personalization for children. Similarly, TikTok announced that it would stop sending notifications after 9 p.m. to children aged 13 to 15, and it would also stop sending notifications after 10 p.m. to children aged 16 to 17. And finally, Instagram announced that it will prevent adults messaging children who do not follow them, defaulting all children accounts to private and requesting users to enter their date of birth whenever logging in. So as we can see, new rules are starting to create an effect in the market. So what is next? Where are we heading? At a European level, the European Data Protection Board, which is made up of all the different data protection authorities across the EU, that has included the drafting of guidelines on children's data in its two-year program for 2021 to 2022. So we are expecting to see these guidelines come out this year. Leaving aside the EU and the UK, we're also seeing initiatives to protect children in other jurisdictions, like the US. For background, the US has an existing law at a federal level called Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, or COPPA, as you might have heard of it. COPPA's main aim is to put parents in control over what information is collected online from children under 13. But COPPA became effective in April 2000 in a very different digital context to the current one. And although it has been amended, it was amended in 2013, it might be probably outdated. And this is why we have been seeing several proposals in the US to amend or create a new regulatory framework to protect children's data. And this brings us back to 2022 with the following news. In February 2022, the Kids Online Safety Act was introduced to the US Senate, still under discussion. Similarly, in February 2022, California's lawmakers proposed a children's privacy bill, which is inspired in the UK's children's code. And President Biden was advocating to strengthen privacy protections for children in his recent State of the Union speech. Until now, we have been focusing on regulation aimed at protecting children's personal data. However, it is worth mentioning that there are other initiatives that have been emerging and continue to emerge in different jurisdictions to create a comprehensive legislation of what we call online harms. Online harms can have different meanings within the different laws, but it is generally referred to mean content on the internet that can cause harm, like, for example, fake news, disinformation, cyberbullying, or hate speech. These laws are also likely to contain some specific provisions and protections for children. In the UK, for example, we are part of this trend. In February this year, it was announced that the Online Safety Bill will be introduced in Parliament as soon as possible. Of course, there might be overlap between the regulation of the online safety and, for example, the Children's Data Protection or the Children's Code, which is one of the challenging areas of the bill. As a final thought on today's discussion, I wanted to explore what does this all mean for the different stakeholders involved? For companies that offer services to children or services that are likely to be accessed by children, it probably means additional compliance obligations in the following years as the regulation on processing children's data increases. Depending on the evolution of the different regulations, it can be a challenge to operate at a multinational level and complying with a patchwork of different regulations. For parents, hopefully, it means assistance in acting on their child's best interest and protecting them. And for children, it should mean growing up in a digital world in which their rights and personal data are protected. I would like to end on this very positive note and thank you for listening today.
Thank you so much to Leah for being my guest on this episode of She Talks Tech. And thanks to you for listening. We really appreciate it. If you want to find out more about Leah, you can connect with her on LinkedIn. Please do subscribe and rate the podcast and give it that all-important 5-star review. And keep listening every Wednesday morning for a new episode of She Talks Tech from We Are Tech Women.